Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode one of the Next Gen Whitetails podcast. First and foremost, I want to welcome you all and thank you for being here today on this very special occasion. Next Gen Whitetails and the Next Gen Whitetails podcast is the new home of the next generation of whitetail enthusiasts. I'm your host, Harrison Vaughn, the owner and founder of Next Gen Whitetails, and throughout this podcast, we will be taking a deep dive into the stories, lessons, and information that shapes the new world of whitetail hunting. Many of us may come from a background of hunting and have lived this lifestyle since childhood, while others, such as myself, are self-taught and are fueled by a passion for learning about and pursuing these beautiful animals. On today's episode, I want to give you guys a brief introduction about myself, a little bit of background about what got me into hunting, and some of the goals we have for not only this podcast, but for the brand Next Gen Whitetails, NXT Gen Whitetails. So thank you all for being here today. I look forward to diving into the different lessons and episodes we have upcoming, but stick with us and we'll dive right into today's episode right now. Alrighty, everybody. Thank you all again for being here today. I'm very excited to jump into the information we have in today's episode. Today's going to be a little bit different than what most of our episodes are going to look like. Most of our episodes are going to be stories, information, lessons, and discussions with myself and guests that we may have coming in from time to time. But today's podcast, I want to focus on introducing myself, giving you guys a little bit of background about what I do, who I am, what got me into hunting, what some of the goals of this podcast are, and what some of the goals of Next Gen Whitetails are. So, to introduce myself, my name is Harrison Vaughn. Like I said earlier, I am the host, owner, and founder of Next Gen Whitetails. I am a teacher, a former college baseball player, and a current varsity baseball head coach. That is my day job. My passion is whitetails, the outdoors in general, hunting, fishing, anything that can get me outside into nature. That is what I absolutely love doing. So I love baseball. I played the game for a very long time. I was a catcher in college, and now I'm blessed to be able to be the head varsity baseball coach at a high school that I live by. And I'm just very fortunate for that. But my true passion is hunting, whitetails, and the outdoors. Now, to get you guys a little bit of information on what got me into hunting, I would have to say that it was, as cliche and as different as it may be, hunting television. I know that there's a lot of guys out there that, you know, grew up with their dad, their granddad, their uncles, whoever it may be in your life that got you into hunting. I did not come from a hunting family. No one in my family or extended family really hunts at all. So I never got the opportunity to go hunting or be really exposed to it at a young age like many of you all did. What I did have the opportunity to do was to watch the Outdoor Channel. So when I look back at some of my youngest memories of hunting, it would be waking up on Sunday morning and turning the Outdoor Channel on and watching a real tree show. Some of the specific ones I can remember are ones featuring Michael Waddell, Bill Jordan, all of those guys that are very well known within the real tree circle. And those are the earliest memories that I have of hunting and of being exposed to the hunting culture. Now, as I got older, that changed a little bit, and I began, you know, researching things on my own, and I would go out in the woods and run around pretending to hunt. There's a little patch of woods near my house, and I'll go out in the woods and pretend like I was hunting. And I loved doing it. I didn't have the opportunity to go when I was a child, but I loved pretending like I could go. That interest and that excitement for it got me into researching hunting-related things. When I was young, one of the biggest things I always enjoyed looking at was Primos.com. I would go on Primos Hunting's website, and I would look at calls. And I remember one of the first calls I ever saw and I ever bought was actually a coyote call. I bought a predator call from Primos at Dick's Sporting Goods. It was a coyote howler. And then that developed into me buying a wounded jackrabbit call and then buying a bobcat call. And I just loved owning something that got me connected to the outdoors. even though I wasn't around people or I wasn't able to go hunting myself, just the opportunity to be able to own something that was hunting related was very exciting to me. Now, as I got older into high school and got my driver's license and was able to drive myself, I was blessed to have a close family friend of ours who owned about 80 acres, about an hour away from where we lived, and he gave me permission to hunt on that property, and I still hunt on that property to this day. I still use it, and although the hunting style that I may take looks much different now than it did 10, 12 years ago, it still feels like home to me when it comes to going out and chasing whitetails. So I was able to go out and take myself hunting when I turned 16, and the first deer hunt I ever went on by myself, I had poured a pile of corn out 2 weeks before, and I was sitting in a ground blind that I had bought from Gander Mountain back when they were open. And it was about 30 yards away from my pile of corn, and I got in there and wanted to be extra early to be super careful. So I got into my ground blind at 3:30 in the morning on the opening day of deer season in North Carolina. Now, I don't know if any of you all are from North Carolina or know, but mid-November in North Carolina, still pretty cold. It was in the 20s that day. I still remember that. And I had no real hunting gear. I had some mixed match things that I had bought here or there and things that I had collected over time, but nothing that was really up to the task of keeping me warm in those cold temperatures. So I went in at 3:30, sat in my lawn chair inside of my little ground blind from Gander Mountain, and I waited. I might have taken a nap. I can't specifically remember, but I remember sitting in there waiting. And around 9 o'clock in the morning, I hear a noise. Hear a couple of cracks in the leaves here, a couple of cracks in the leaves there. And in the distance, at about 75 yards through the tree line, I can see the most beautiful sight I had ever seen. Two white-tailed does walking through the tree line at a beeline towards my little corn pile. Both of them walked across this ridgeline that I was facing and made their way down the little gully and out into the field where I have my ground blind set. And they both walked straight over to what was left of my pile of corn from 2 weeks before and started eating. Now, as I told you earlier, I wasn't necessarily fully prepared for what was going to take place. I wasn't fully prepared equipment-wise, temperature-wise, any of that. But I was using a Stoeger Youth Model over and under double barrel shotgun. And I had some Sabot slugs in it. I believe they were Winchester. But it was my little 20 gauge shotgun. I had my slugs in. I was ready to go. Well, white-tailed doe walked out. I picked the biggest one, 35 yards, and I shot. And I knew I hit her because I saw her drop. But what I didn't know and what I wasn't prepared for was what was coming next. I wasn't disciplined enough. I wasn't educated enough. I wasn't patient enough to wait and give that deer time. And as soon as I shot and I saw her go down, I got out of my blind. And I'm sure most of you know exactly where this story is going next. She jumped up, turned to the right, and ran straight up into the trees. Now, what I should have done at the time was go back into the blind and wait and pick up a blood trail. But I didn't do that. I chased after her and ended up finding her about 150 yards away, bedded down, to which she jumped back up, ran, crossed a creek onto the neighbor's property, never to be seen again. Now, I'm positive that the shot that I took on that deer was fatal because I was able to see the wound that was left in her side from where I had pulled the trigger, but I was not able to recover. And that was a pain that I still feel to this day. Now, many individuals may face a situation like that, and that might put them off from hunting. It actually did the exact opposite for me. What it did was it taught me that there was a lot I needed to learn before I was capable of taking on the responsibility of pursuing these beautiful animals. I wasn't prepared at the time to go out and do what it takes to take an animal's life. I wasn't prepared to be patient. I wasn't prepared knowledge-wise as far as to know how to read a deer, know what to do after a shot. But I learned. That was the moment that changed my mindset, where I went from thinking it was something fun to do, but not really being super invested into it. And after that incident, losing that white-tailed doe, the first deer I had ever seen while hunting, the first deer I had ever shot, after losing her, I knew one thing. I knew that I was going to get as good at this activity as possible, and I was going to make this part of who I am. So I did that. I learned, I taught myself, I researched, I talked to people. I did everything I could to know how to find deer, how to know where deer hang out, how to hunt deer, what deer eat, what deer need in their daily lives, how to shoot deer, how to ethically track deer, and what to do both before and after taking an animal's life. So after learning all of these things and taking the opportunity, I was able to go out the next season and hunt. And I did. I got a rifle that I had borrowed, a 30-06, from the same family friend of ours that let me hunt on his property. He let me borrow his rifle for the entire season, which is something that just speaks to the genuine and wonderful man that he is. And I'm very proud to know him, and I'm very humbled that I had these opportunities given to me by him. But I was able to use his rifle the following season. And this year, I was actually hunting out of a tower stand, a little tripod tower stand that was situated above where I had my ground blind the year prior. I did similar things. I put corn out. I set my blind up. I got it wrapped up in camo burlap to keep me nice and concealed up there on that tripod. Had my corn out. Had my mineral blocks. I was ready to go for rifle season. And sure enough, rifle season rolled around. I got out there again about 3:30, 3:45 in the morning that following year on opening day, settled down into my tripod stand. Well, once again, the same as the year before, about 9:05 in the morning, I hear some crunching. This time, though, it's coming from behind me across a creek on the neighbor's land. I can hear crunch, crunch, crunch. Stop. What did I have in my pocket at the time but a Primos The Can Doe and Estrus Bleat Call? I gave a couple of turns on that, meh, meh, meh. On a dime, I hear crunch, 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 and I glance over to my right, right across the creek, and what do I see? All I can see is tines and antlers sticking up above this brush. And to me, who had never seen a whitetail buck while hunting before, I thought this thing was the biggest Boone and Crockett buck the world had ever seen. I thought it was the doggone Hansen buck, 200 inches of pure whitetail glory. But I see these tines. About 2 seconds later, I hear crunch, splash, and then I glance down. And right below my stand, about 5 yards from me, is a beautiful representative whitetail buck for North Carolina. About 3.5 years old. In all honesty, nothing crazy to speak of, but to me, this was the largest deer I had ever seen. I didn't even know they existed this big. But I look down, we lock eyes. What felt like 15 minutes of us staring at each other. It was probably only about 5 seconds, but it felt like an eternity to me. We had our eyes locked. He's sitting up there looking at me. I'm looking at him. I'm expecting him to spook because I haven't even picked up my rifle yet. He looks down, starts wandering off. Little light jog across the field. Soon as he turned his back to me, I picked up my rifle, shouldered it. I let out a noise, little meh. Got him to stop at about 40 yards. He turned, quartering away from me, but I had a beautiful shot at that front shoulder. So I centered the crosshairs right on the back side of that shoulder blade, and boom, pulled the trigger. I wasn't going to make the same mistake that I made last year, though. So as soon as I pulled the trigger, I set my rifle down, hands shaking, heart beating faster than it's ever beat before, and I sat. And I actually called my dad about 5 minutes after that to tell him that I had shot the biggest buck I had ever seen on TV or in person. Just a massive deer. And after about 30 minutes of sitting in the stand, I walked back up about a quarter mile to my car, and I sat there for another hour. So this time it's been an hour and a half, and then I decide, okay, I think from all the information I've gathered from other people and from the internet, I'm good to go back down and start looking. So I did. I got on the gator, and I made my way back down to the field where I had pulled the trigger on this beautiful deer, and I started right where I thought I had shot at him. And sure enough, right there, a pile of bright red arterial blood. I looked down about 5 yards from where I saw him run. and it's just a streak as if someone dumped a bucket of paint out on the grass, leading me to my, to what will become my life, my passion, the thing that I love doing most in this world. But I follow that trail of blood for no more than 35 yards. And as soon as it crossed into the tree line around the ravine, I saw him laying there. A beautiful, beautiful animal. I was shaken. My heart was beating so fast after I saw him. I walked over to him, picked up his antlers, drug him back out into the field, and I just sat there for a minute. I sat there for probably 5 or 10 minutes just looking at every aspect of this animal, feeling his fur, feeling his antlers, feeling his ears, his hooves, just every aspect of this animal, just taking it all in. And after that, I cleaned it to the best of my ability, which actually went very well. I was able to clean it and field dress it, take it to a processor, and I ended up getting that deer mounted. To this day, it's the only animal I have a shoulder mount of, but it sits proudly in my basement, and I love looking at it and remembering that story every single time I see it. But that was the first buck I killed in my second season of deer hunting on my own, and it's a memory that will never go away, a memory that'll never go away. And just to let you all know, while I might have said several times that this was the biggest buck I had ever seen, it ended up being about a 120-inch 8-point. So a nice buck for sure, but definitely not the Boone and Crockett television-level giant that I thought I was looking at when I first heard those crunches of leaves across the creek. But that, you all, is the story of my first whitetail hunts, my first whitetail harvest, and my first whitetail failure, which was the first deer I ever shot at. I hope that gives you guys a little bit of insight on who I am as a hunter, the things that I've experienced, what's shaped me and shaped my mentality and my mindset. But now what I'd like to jump in with you guys, what I'd like to jump into with you guys is the goals that we have on this podcast and the goals that we have with the Next Gen Whitetails brand. Like I told you earlier, you know, the things that have shaped me as a hunter really are going to define this company, the experiences I've had, the passions that I have. And those are being stewards of these beautiful animals that we hunt, whether that means food plots and land management to better create habitat for animals, or whether that is being ethical hunters when it comes to taking good, ethical, clean shots, using equipment that is appropriate for certain animals, or just generally being good stewards of the land, cleaning up after yourself, never leaving trash, always leaving an environment in the best way possible that these animals can live in. Because at the end of the day, we are going into their homes. We're going into their territory whenever we go in hunting them. So I want us to all, you know, keep that mindset while we're hunting. But those are going to be kind of the ideas and the motives behind everything that we talk about in this podcast. There's going to be a lot of great stories like the ones that I just shared with you guys from me. We're going to have guests on to share similar stories that they had, similar experiences they've had. We'll have guests on talking about land management, talking about forestry, talking about how we can be better stewards of the land, how we can improve our habitat for wildlife. And we're also going to talk a little bit about some of the fun things with hunting. Inside of whitetail hunting and outside, because although my passion is whitetails, I do love hunting turkeys. I love hunting ducks. I love small game hunting. So this podcast is really just going to be a big compilation of thoughts, stories, ideas, plans, strategies, every aspect of whitetail hunting that you can imagine. That is what is going to be covered on this podcast. And that is what Next Gen Whitetails is all about. Thank you all so much for listening here today. We're going to do a little closing segment here at the end, but that takes up the majority of our podcast today. I'm very excited about the prospect of what we have going on here. I'm very excited about the future. I'm very excited for what is to come with Next Gen Whitetails. Please, if you enjoyed what you heard today and you want to hear more of it, please hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this podcast today. And give us a follow over on Instagram at Next Gen Whitetails. That is NXTGEN Whitetails on Instagram. So go give us a follow. give us a subscribe on the podcast, and we look forward to more stories, more information, and more things to come on the next episode. Thank you all for being here. Have a wonderful night and have a wonderful rest of your week. Alrighty, everybody. Once again, thank you so much for being here today. I hope you enjoyed listening to episode one of the Next Gen Whitetails podcast as much as I enjoyed making it. If you enjoyed this episode, please give us a follow on whatever podcast platform you are listening on, and check us out on Instagram as well at NXTGEN Whitetails. New episodes of the podcast will be dropping every Wednesday evening, and we will have some special extra episodes coming out as we get closer to deer season and once we get into it. Have a great rest of your night, and thanks for being a part of the Next Gen.